A good new year to any and money may you see, and during all the years to come, oh happy may you be. Happy New Year. Welcome to worship this morning. If this is your first time or the first time since the last time, good to see you. If you're a Zoomer, I hope you're warm and comfy and the coffee's still hot. And if you're catching up on the website, welcome and thanks for your time with us. Now, if you haven't had time to do so, please have a look around, turn to the folk nearest to you, and if you haven't already done so, wish them a Happy New Year. Lord, you are love beyond all telling. Saviour and King, we worship you. Emmanuel, within us dwelling, make us and keep us pure and true. Lord, you are love and beyond all telling. Saviour and King, we worship you. Our first hymn this morning is hymn 326 in the hymn books, As with Gladness Men of Old. Let us join together in prayer. Let us pray. Living God, on this first Sunday of another year, we come to praise you, conscious that you have watched over us in the months gone by. We praise you for the countless ways we have experienced your love, the faith you have nurtured, the strength you have given, the guidance you have offered. You have blessed us in so much that is past. Teach us to trust you for the future. We praise you for the fun we have enjoyed, the great fellowship we have shared, the encouragement we have given and received. We thank you for the ventures we have begun, the successes we've achieved, and the dreams we still have. Living God, you have always been at our side, your love constantly surrounding us, your hand supporting us, whatever we have been called to face. You have blessed us in so much that is past. Teach us to trust you for the future. Grant us now your blessings on the days ahead. Help us to make the most of the opportunities that lie before us, to live each day to the full, to celebrate the good things we do, to enjoy the challenge of the freshness of 2026, to be excited with what you have in store for us, and to remain faithful to you in all circumstances, and to serve Christ in all that we say and do. Father God, we pray all this in the name of Jesus, who taught us that when we gather in your name, we say the family prayer of the church. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, I've got two children and a lot of folk that aren't children but look like adults. Come on, you two. If anything, I really need your help this morning. Good. How are we doing? Good lads. Ah, good morning. Yeah, good to see you. Right, oh, boys. Still got the jerseys on. Right, good. Lions, Lions, Lions. Oh, it's a rugby one. Oh, you're a champion. Right, what's in the name? Now, I've got a picture coming up of a family I've known since, the late 80s, I think, maybe. They're quite famous in their own way, but they're quite ordinary. Okay. Any thoughts about family I could maybe think of? No. Right. No. Okay. Would you want to see them? Do you think you might know them? You don't know. Come on then. Let's see a look. Do we recognise them? Yes. Smiles all round. Who are they? Are you coming up? Yes. Ah, somebody says, I recognise that, I'm heading for the front. Another boy, welcome to the tribe. Do you know the family up there? Do you recognise them? Yeah. Where do you recognise them from? You know where they come from, don't you? From? School, yes. It's the reading scheme. Oxford Reading Tree. Okay, so who've we got up there? Do you know them? Have you recognised the faces? Come on in, who's up there? All the names are up there, are they? Are they? Yeah, can you remember the family's name? Began with an R? Robinson? Is that second? God, no, who's up there? Mum and Dad. Mum and Dad, what are their names in all the books? Just Mum and Dad. What are the other three? Oh, that's Floppy the dog. Who are the other three? Go on then, you can read it. Just read it off. You've got Kipper, Chip, and Biff. That doesn't sound like the real names, does it? No? Can you remember what the real names were? No, because they don't appear much in the books. This comes from the reading scheme that's in a lot of the schools. Do you remember it from school? No. Okay. Chip, Kipper, and Biff. That's not the real names. Can you remember what the names are? Or do you remember them? Chip was David, Kipper was Christopher, and Biff's real name was Barbara. They got the names because nobody could say the names properly when they were young. So they just called, they were ended up with the nicknames Chip, Kipper, and Biff. What's the dog's name? Come on, it's up there. Get your brother to help. Floppy's the dog. Yes. They have great fun and they go all the way through. Right. Okay. They got nicknames. I can remember a couple of nicknames. I had a boy in a class called Toffee. Toffee, you can guess his second name is Macintosh. Curly. I had a Curly. Well, he was actually in my class at school. Why do you think he had the nickname Curly? Come on, give you a wild guess. Well, he didn't actually have curly hair. His hair was as flat as a billiard table or a snooker table. Absolutely flat, so naturally everybody called him Curly. The funny thing is now he's completely bald, like a snooker or a billiard ball, and he's still called Curly, which does kind of confuse some people. And then I remember a teacher called Harpic. Adults will know this one. Harpic. Because he was clean round the bend. Yeah. Okay, so I've got to show you another name. Nickname, and a kind of nickname. This was a nickname for a group of people who lived a long, long time ago. So long ago, the name is in Latin, which was the language that the Romans spoke. Can we get that one now? Hilaris. That was the nickname that this group of people got, Hilaris. Now, I know there's a couple of folk have done Latin, or probably a lot more if you did Latin at school. Come on then, yes. Hilarious. Yes. It actually means cheerful or merry. Can you think of a group of people who early Romans thought were cheery or merry? Really happy people. Not hilarious. We use the word hilarious. That's well spotted. But cheery. Come on. Think of any group of people. Not the easiest one. Any thoughts? Would it be shopkeepers? Soldiers? What else?
Family?
Could be family. Well, it was a kind of family. Yeah. Well, I can tell you that the first nickname that the early church was given was Hilaris. Before we were called Christians, the Romans called us Hilaris. Cheerful or merry. That's what we have to be. Because we've got one of the great secret, we should be so happy, merry. We've got this wonderful secret that folks should know all about. It's Jesus, because we know Jesus and we know what he can do for us. So we are to be cheerful and merry. Let's be like the old church, the early Christians, who were so happy that they knew Jesus, that folk gathered together and said, I want to be like that. Now, what I want you to do is stand up and smile. That got very close. That got so close. Come on. That's great. I like that. You can be there. Come on. No, just stand up. It's an easy thing to do. There's no trick. Well, there is. Come on. Come on, stand beside me. Right, now, keep smiling. Right, who's next? Who's next? Come on, then. You've got, brilliant. Two out of four so far. Anybody else? Come on then, just one person. You've got to smile. Come on, break the habit of a lifetime. You've got it, that's it. Happy, smiling, cheerful. We're Christians. That's what we're supposed to be. No, keep smiling. With a jersey like that, that you can only be happy and cheerful. Great. Thank you very much. Well done, happy Christians. Have a wee seat. Thank you. Let's just say a wee prayer just now. Father God, we give you thanks that you sent us Jesus and he asked us to be happy and to be cheerful so that others would come to know us and to want to be with us. Give you these thanks. Amen. Now, where are we? The next hymn is hymn 310, See Him Lying in a Bed of Straw. And you're allowed to smile all the way through this one while you're singing.
The Old Testament reading this morning is found in Psalm 100, which can be found on page 604 in the Pew Bibles. Hear the word of God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen. And the New Testament scripture is found in Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 42. And this can be found on page 1094. In the Pew Bibles. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Amen. And thanks be to God. Our next hymn is hymn 331, Unto Us a Boy is Born.
Let us pray. God of power and life, you are the glory of all who believe in you. Fill the world with your splendor and show the nations the light of your truth. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who's alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. This morning, we have a newish neighbor, Balmerino, Creagh, Flisk, Kilmeny and Wormit Church of Scotland. They are having their very first services this morning as a united church. During the year, discussions will start, which eventually will lead with a union with Newport. And my prayer is that we find a shorter name. At some point in the second half of the year, depending on Fife Presbytery, there should be a review of Amos's tenure with us. So changes are coming. In last week's service, Amos took us over the back over the year that's gone, as well as the links with other churches. He spoke about the gains, the losses, the worries we all had personally endured. He also looked forward a bit to 2026 and the fear and the uncertainties we face when we face change. But with change, there can also be the excitement of the new, the joy of freshness, and the opportunity to be even better at the things that we do well. Last November, we had a service of celebration, a service of all that we, a celebration of all that we do in the church. It was a very full service, and there was just not enough time to do everything justice. Now in the morning when I get up, I pick up the courier and I start with the important stuff. I start at the back page. The news at the moment is all about football managers who want to improve their team. They have found the areas that need improvement, and review is something that managers do all the time. It is important. It is going back over what has happened, and it is looking to the future, back to the future. This morning I thought we could look back at the very earliest days of the church. What were the hallmarks of the church in Jerusalem back then? Can we identify them in 2026 and identify them in our church and identify them in ourselves? Acts 2, verses 41 to 47, is one of the most interesting and one of the most important passages in the whole of the New Testament. It gives a short, clear summary of the hallmarks of the early church. A learning church. First and foremost, the early church was a learning church. Acts 2, verse 42, tells us that people devoted themselves to the teachings of the apostles. Now, in the beginning, there were no great buildings, no organized church as we know it today. A great deal of the preaching and the teaching was done out in the streets, on busy corners, or in the market square. Interested people would stop and listen. Some would move on, and some would stay and join the group. They would ask, "Where can I find out some more about this Jesus Christ?" And they would be directed to a family home or a quiet corner of the temple. A real church is a learning church. When did you finish your education? That was once a question in the British census. And there was one very elderly gentleman who was taken to task. That question had been left unanswered. When did you finish your education? His reply was, "I don't know, I haven't finished yet." A reply which we should all be delighted to echo. A church full of people reading, doubting, discussing, learning. A praying church. St. Francis of Assisi was known as a lover of mountains. Whenever he faced a problem, he headed for the hills where he prayed. He followed the example of Jesus. In the gospel, for his time of prayer, Jesus often sought out a lonely place or a hill. These early Christians were equally devoted to prayer. They did not always have it easy. They knew that they could not face a hostile world in their own strength. After seeking time with God, they went out with his support and with his encouragement. If we are to face the future with confidence, we too will need more than our own strength. A church full of people, listening, seeking, praying. An awful church. In verse 43, we read of a church full of awe. Quite rightly, we should be full of awe and reverence when we come here to worship. This is a special place, for we are in the presence of God. Now, when we leave here, we face the world with all its ups and downs. But God is also there with us. That's true, because this is God's world and God is everywhere with us. But it becomes especially true in the church when we are here, we must be at our genuine best. We can be tired, we can lose concentration, we can scan round the congregation to see who's here or who's not. It happens to us all. Outside things deflect us. But we need to be fully ready to experience what God has for us. We need to be at our best. An awful church, inspired, uplifted, humbled. A church where things happen. The early church was a place where things happened, wonders and miracles. Sick people were cured, bad people made good. Jesus is still able to make things happen. Maybe one of the reasons why things do not happen is that we do not expect them to happen. It has been said that we should expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. Now, we have a church here where a lot is happening, and there's an opportunity to make a lot more happen, to expand and create even more opportunities for outreach and mission. A church of people busy for God, planning, talking, working. A sharing church. Now, in the early church, they had a lovely custom. Every Sunday, they had what was called a love feast. Everybody brought something, just as they were able. They sat down together, rich and poor, slave and free, Jew and Gentile. And then they shared a meal. That was wonderful. But it was also truly revolutionary. It changed how people of the time regarded each other. Different backgrounds, different social standings, different experiences all came together. I think for most of us here this morning, at some point in our Christian journey, we have made a promise. We made a commitment to allocate part of our time, part of our talents, and part of our income to the church. There are so many things that are supported in and around our church. And we give thanks to God and to each other for that. Pause for a moment and think of one thing that could be improved, or one thing that might be introduced, or one thing that needs changing. If the Spirit of Christ is genuinely moving in this place, then would it not just be wonderful to share even more with that Spirit? A sharing church, working, helping, caring. A worshipping church. We read that the early Christians met daily for worship. It was a priority for them. Coming to church is one way we show our loyalty to Jesus. It is where we can fully enjoy Christian fellowship. Imagine for a moment going to a concert by the likes of Taylor Swift or Oasis, or going to an international at Murrayfield or Hampden, or the switching on of the lights at the foot of the high street. You're there, but it's just you, or maybe two or three others away, way in the distance. It's not the same. It's missing an important element. Christian fellowship is one of the most powerful forces around. Now, it's very true that we experience God through different things, painting, music, being alone in the hills, or walking along a seashore. Spiritual experiences happen in different ways and in different places. However, worshipping together brings about a special dimension. The Spirit of God moves upon a worshipping people. A worshipping church, singing, praying, experiencing. A happy church. Also in Acts 2:46, we read that the early Christians had glad and sincere hearts. A gloomy Christian is a contradiction in terms. How many of us remember when the highlight of Hogmanay television was the word, hello? When we all laughed at the Reverend I.M. Jolly and as he spent a few minutes telling us of another disaster-strewn year. However, I wonder how much Ricky Fulton actually touched a raw nerve. Not long ago, I remember being approached by a youngish man after a funeral. He was from the Outer Hebrides. I didn't know you could laugh at a funeral. Well, it was the theologian Karl Barth who said, joy is the simplest form of gratitude. Joy is the simplest form of gratitude. The joy of a Christian is something which is deep in the heart. A happy church, smiling, relaxed, welcoming. A church that attracts. I mentioned welcoming and having time with the kids, smiling. The early church was one which people could not help but like. It must have had great appeal and was easily approached. Oh, come on, we've all met churchgoers who are deeply devout, who read their Bibles and pray unceasingly. But you would never actually choose to go and cry on their shoulder. I remember one minister calling them the iceberg Christians. Real Christianity is a lovely thing. Our behaviour should be so thoughtful, so considerate, so kind that others want to find out why we are that way. An attractive church, warm, friendly, open, serving. The hallmarks of the early church, a learning church, a praying church, an awful church, a church where things happen, a sharing church, a worshipping church, a happy church, an attractive church. The church of 2026. Can we go back to the future? The Holy Spirit moved in the early church. The Holy Spirit is moving among us now. And rest assured, the Holy Spirit will be with us as we journey through this coming year. Amen. We continue our worship by singing together our next hymn, hymn 295. Who would think that what was needed? Let us pray. Lord, take this money and use it for the work of the church. Take our gifts and use them for the growth of your kingdom. Take our witness and use it for the spread of the gospel. Take our service and use it to make known your love. Accept all that we bring you today and use it through your power and for your glory. Amen. We continue our prayers with prayers for others and ourselves. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we come to you at this time of new beginnings, we are reminded of those who feel the future has no promise, those who struggle with burdens to which they can see no solutions. Reach out in love and grant a new beginning. We pray for those facing pressures of home, relationships strained between wife and husband, parent and child, brother and sister, patience stretched to breaking point. We pray for those facing pressures of work, overwhelmed by responsibilities, unsupported in stressful situations, caught up in office politics, troubled by job insecurity, or simply bored and unhappy in what they do. Reach out in love and grant a new beginning. We pray for those facing pressures of money, struggling to make ends meet, crippled by debt, frustrated by poor pay, or uncertain about when their next salary will appear in the bank. We pray for those facing pressures of health, waiting for an appointment or a diagnosis, crushed by depression, wrestling with infirmity as the years go by, or living with the knowledge of terminal illness. Reach out in love and grant a new beginning. We pray for those facing pressures of faith, troubled by questions, worried by doubts, feeling themselves distant from your love and enduring a dark night of the soul. Reach out in love and grant a new beginning. Gracious God, may your love, compassion, strength, and support reach out to all who are hurting, and may you bring them a new sense of hope. Father, may we find in ourselves the ability, the courage, and the strength to reach out to those for whom we pray. Let them know that however bleak the world may seem, they will find a sense of hope because you hold the future in your hands now and for all eternity. Reach out in love and grant a new beginning. Father, we pray this in the strong but gentle name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our friend, and our supporter. Amen. Our final hymn this morning is hymn 680, You Are Called to Tell the Story. Thank you. our service here is ended and we journey out into the world, as we do so, be bold to share the story of Jesus and to show his love. And the blessing of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us and remain with us always.